This is FUV Live Sessions, the podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City and listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Hannah Jadagu. I'm Russ Boris, and I'm here with Megan Suma at WFUV in Studio A. Now, Meg, did you get to talk to Hannah about her transition from Texas to New York City? Did you talk about that?
Yeah, we did. We did. So Hannah's originally from Dallas, Texas, which she loves very much. And we actually talk about how Dallas has influenced her sound in some way. She moved to New York to go to NYU, which we also talked about because I'm also an NYU alum. So she goes to NYU and she starts making music. And actually, she takes a little break to actually write her debut album, which came out in 2023, which is called Aperture. So that was that first debut project that followed an EP that she had put out earlier. And this new project, this is her sophomore album. It's called Describe. And it's really building on kind of that sonic soundscape that she's really into. She loves a good hook. She loves synths. She loves different guitar sounds and playing around with all of the different guitars in the studio. And so she's kind of building on that like atmospheric, reverby sound that came out of that 2023 album. But now it is like so much more fully fleshed out. And now that she's, you know, moved on from NYU and moved on from college, we're really getting this like rich, interesting, layered, kind of peel back the layers of the onion sound from her. She likes for people to be cozy when they listen to her music. And I feel cozy when I listen to this album. And you're going to feel cozy too when you hear the songs live.
So what song are we going to feel cozy to start out?
We're going to start this session with Gimme Time. So this is Hannah Jadagu live in Studio A with Gimme Time.
I shouldn't complicate it. I know that you love me. So if I ask questions, baby, it's 'cause I already know. And now I'm waking up and just wishing I had you close. So yeah. I go out west and maybe I should be calling. I let you know.
I'm Megan Suma for FUV Live Sessions, and that was Hannah Jadagu live in Studio A with the song Gimme Time from her sophomore album Describe, which actually came out today on the day that we're talking.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Describe builds on Hannah's unique and eclectic indie, pop, rock, synth, genre fluid style, which started to take shape with the release of her EP, What Is Going On, back in 2021, and evolved with the release of her debut full-length album, Aperture, in 2023, which I have sitting on the desk next to me and I love very much. While beloved elements like the ethereal synths, atmospheric reverb, and the totally addicting hooks that you write can be heard across the catalog, Describe is a different animal altogether, and it dives that much deeper into your well of musical tricks, and it really uses songs to try to get at the truth of the human experience. And I want to talk about Gimme Time because that's the first song that we heard, but sequentially on the album, the first track that we hear is the title track, which is Describe. And I just have to tell you, like, when I listened to this for the first time, it really felt like something. It felt like the sun was peeking out of the clouds, or it was like a rebirth, or like a being born. It reminded me of when I was in high school and I would listen in the car with my friends to Explosions in the Sky and we would just vibe out to the sounds. I feel like when I listened to the title track, it really like took me to a peaceful place. And I'm kind of curious, can you talk to me about all of the unique production elements that are in this album? You kind of applied a musical language to try and describe real life feelings and emotions. Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Definitely. Well, I mean, going into it, I remember I was very specific about sort of wanting to open myself up to new sonic elements. And one of those was in my songwriting process, I found that going to the piano or the synth or the keys kind of was allowing me to do so. And, you know, the guitar is still in there. And there's certain elements, like you said, from Aperture, What Is Going On, like the melodic stuff and all the melodies, like that's still there. And that's still very much me. But yeah, like going back to Describe, when I wrote that song, it started on a MIDI keyboard and just my vocals. And it was just like that kind of that sun peeking out. It felt fresh. It felt new. And it also felt unexplored. And I was very curious about what we could do with that. And Describe in itself has evolved into a song where there's strings. You know, there's so many synths going on. There's vocal chops going on, you know, reverb, delay. And I think Describe was a great title track and opening track to sort of let people know, hey, this record is going to take you on somewhat of a very interesting musical journey. And there's going to be a lot of surprises. So expect the unexpected.
Yeah. And I think you get that the sequence of all of the tracks across the album really feel complete. It feels like a narrative arc. It feels like a story. So I definitely got that.
Yeah.
You also worked with some really cool producers on this album. You yourself are a producer and are taking so much of your vision and putting it into this album. You also worked with Sora Lopez and Max Baby, which are both producers that have kind of orbited your life. Did you and Sora already know each other from NYU?
So Sora, it's funny, he did go to NYU for like a year. Then he dropped out, came back for a semester, and then fully left. But I met him just through mutuals and going out in LA the summer of 2023. We had kind of those sessions that your team will set up, like, hey, there's this guy named Sora who wants to do a session. Would you want to do it? I said, yeah. And found out we had mutuals and we just had a great session. But it wasn't until the summer of 2024 where I texted Sora. I said, hey, I'm back and I'm kind of shopping around for a producer for the album. And I'm curious to see what we could do, because I remember last time we had a lot of fun. So Sora was wonderful to work on the album with, especially because that was out in Altadena, California. Very beautiful. And then Max, we brought him back in because Max has these sort of sensibilities that are just so unique, but also very understanding of what I'm going for. And so I think the two of them were great to kind of put in a little pot together. And yeah, we were just cooking up some new stuff, some new sounds.
That's really cool. And Max worked on Aperture with
you
as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, all of it. We co-produced all of Aperture together.
Wow.
And so I was like, just come in and do some songs. He ended up doing like 4 or 5 songs on this new album. So,
That's beautiful. So Gimme Time, talking about this really beautiful song. This is the first song we heard. I read on Sub Pop that you're a self-proclaimed quality time girly. I myself am a acts of service girly.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming that we're talking about the love languages.
Yes, we are. We are. I am, in fact, a quality time girly.
I'm curious, like, how did this idea of time, spending time, sometimes we feel like we're losing time. How did that become a cornerstone of this project?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of what was happening when I was going to write the songs was kind of recounting upon times where I'd been on tour or I'd been in a place that created a lot of distance between myself and those that I loved. And I think a lot of it was reflecting on the concept of time. I mean, like you pointed out, which is such an astute observation, all over the songs, it's about time and it's about distance or it's about calling, you know? And I think I found it very interesting to explore that sort of thing. And I think a lot of these songs are also love songs, but in a way that feels love adjacent and maybe not so traditional as to what we're used to. I saw something funny. Somebody was like, it's a breakup album. I'm like, it's far from that. It's just talking about the nuance. And I think time is such an interesting theme to explore. And I think distance was another big theme I explored. But yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head.
I think that's really interesting because also time and distance, they impact not just our romantic relationships, but also the relationships that we have with our parents and our siblings, the people we grew up with. And all of those relationships are also rooted love. In love.
It's rooted in love. Yes, yeah. I agree. I think a lot of what I've seen from people talking about the album is they think it's like all romantic, and I can see that angle. But yes, a lot of what I'm talking about is that as well. So yeah, that's definitely the vibe. That's definitely what I was trying to explore and figure out while making the record.
Yeah. And you're from Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
Originally.
Yes.
And you came to New York to go to NYU, and now you've been working in the industry. Where are you based now?
So I live in Brooklyn now.
Okay, great. Fabulous. Yeah. And that must be difficult, though. And I'm familiar with that experience, too. Yeah. I'm not originally from New York.
Oh,
so
really?
At some point, you move here and you sort of say you put on pause other relationships. And you mentioned when we were off mic, I was checking your levels at the beginning and you were talking about how much you love Dallas.
Yes.
What kind of inspiration and love do you pull from Dallas that shows up in your music?
That's a good question. Sometimes, to be quite honest with you and the listeners, I'm not quite sure what I'm pulling from it, but I do know that it means a lot to me. And I think Dallas for me represents recharging. It represents going back to your roots, staying true to yourself. And that's definitely something I try to apply every time I'm going in to make an album, is just staying authentic and trying to express myself in a way that feels real to me and connects with me. And hopefully it can connect with other people. But yeah, I think Dallas kind of represents home, of course. And I think home to me reminds me of recharging, getting back to it, and just like being in tune with yourself and where you come from.
We're going to hear another song soon. That song is Doing Now. And this comes a little bit later on in the album. I think it's like the 10th track, shortly before the album closes out.
Your memory.
I thought this was really interesting. So I'm looking at the lyrics for Doing Now. Mm-hmm. And so you have the verse and it says, I know what we're doing now. I know what we're. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say Doing Now, but the song is called Doing Now. Was that like pulled from the verse to become the title? Was it intentional?
Yes, it's definitely intentional. I mean, I like to play around with stuff like that in songwriting where you kind of leave something out. And I think in someone's head, they might finish that sentence, you know, and I kind of like that act of just leaving it up to the listeners to kind of make it their own. So that was definitely intentional. But also, yeah, when I thought about the title, I was like, it's still Doing Now for sure. But I left it off. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, I love that. I'm very interested by the fact that you left it open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these songs, maybe you went in with a specific trajectory for it, but the listener is going to pull their own experience and apply it.
I hope so. That's the goal.
I also love the right after that, it goes into this repetition of timid, I get so timid, I get so timid. And I thought that was interesting that you used the word timid. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are more inclined in songwriting to use the word shy.
Yes.
But it has a different meaning.
Yes.
I'm curious, what was your hope? What were you trying to convey with that?
Well, Doing Now, I mean, that song, that girly is definitely a love song, or it's really more so though about that moment when you're falling in love. And I think you are wondering what this other person is viewing you as and perceiving you as. And it's all about the art of like perception. And, you know, I think when I made that, I was like, you know what? When I really am liking somebody, like, I just feel so timid because you just never know. But it's not quite shy because yeah. I'm still there and I'm talking to this person. I'm hanging out, but I'm scared what might happen if I reveal all my cards. If I reveal who I really am, will they still like me? So that was kind of what I was messing with. And I chose to do timid. One, because I also liked how it rolled off the tongue. Like, uh-huh. Timid, I get so. But yeah, that's kind of why I did timid instead of shy, because it's not the same.
Yeah. And it almost feels like onomatopoetic too. Mm-hmm. Like we both kind of do it physically, yeah, you know, when we like, say it. Your shoulders kind of hunch.
Yeah, we're over here hunching up. Y'all can't see it, but.
Y'all can't see it, but we're doing it.
We're doing it.
Let's listen to it right now. This is Hannah Jadagu on FUV Live Sessions, live with Doing Now.
I tell you to call. Only got some time. Tell me that you do too. I know what we do now. I say show me more. Only so much room to see. I give you that same energy. I know what we do now. I know what we do. Timid, I get so. 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 Now I'm feeling something. Only it's a special thing. I tell you I'm really needing. I know what we do now. Don't need to be sure.
Jadagu live in Studio A for FUV Live Sessions with Doing Now from her new album, Describe. I read somewhere that you started writing music as a kid when you became a percussionist in the school band. And then you joined a children's choir with your sister. And that kind of helped you learn harmonization, yes, melodies. But you're also a talented guitarist, a talented producer. Then you got onto like this synthy vibe for this album. So you have a lot of musical tools in your toolbox now. Can you talk to me a little bit about your relationship to all of these different tools and instruments and how you utilize them for this new project specifically.
Definitely. I think something that I found that keeps coming back as I get older is that sort of choral background. I think that allowed me to have a lot of ear training. I mean, you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, theater and what you were doing when you were younger and all that stuff. So yeah, the choral training has saved my life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what kind of artist I would be if I didn't have it, because it allows me to go into the studio and hear harmonies. It allows me to hear the voicings, textures, timbre, what you're kind of looking for when you're making these songs. So yeah, that's a big thing that I think is just helping me every day, even if I'm not realizing that in the moment. But the other stuff, like, you know, guitar, I'm okay at it. I'm an okay singer. I would definitely consider myself more of someone who's just kind of like trying to make some sounds. And I'm very blessed that I get to do it in a capacity where I feel safe to do it. And that's kind of why I like to have only me and another producer in a room where we can just toy around and really have fun. And I think, you know, when I first started making music, I didn't have all this stuff accessible to me. So I was doing, you know, what worked and whatever was cheap. But now that I get to have access to a studio, like, I have so much fun playing around on a Moog, on a Juno, on a Whirly, and picking up different guitars. And I think just the act of being imaginative and feeling almost childlike in the studio is what can lead to a lot of fun sounds and like really beautiful things.
Yeah. And we don't get to do that as often when we're adults. Play around.
That's literally why everyone's always like, what's your favorite part? Making the music, playing the music. And I'm like, I love to play shows. No shade. This session we had was amazing. But my favorite part is making it, because you just feel like a kid.
Yeah.
What does that guy from Love Island say? That kid feeling?
That kid feeling. It's real. And I think we're all trying to find something that gives us that kid feeling.
Literally. Shout out Love Island.
You hold so much, and this kind of goes along with what we're talking about right now. You hold a ton of variety in your music and your aesthetic palette. You are super genre fluid, but I also want to touch on the music videos for the songs on this album.
Yes.
So I watched all of the three songs you played in this session. I watched the videos for, and they're all super unique.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to hear a little bit about what inspires you, Hannah, aesthetically, from like books to television to Love Island to movies to nature. I mean, the video for Gimme Time, it looks like it's kind of shot on an 8mm.
Yes.
And it's like in a national park.
Estes Park, yes.
Okay.
You're clocking everything.
Okay. And it's super, it's just so natural and peaceful and beautiful.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
books, television, movies, what's inspiring you?
The first thing that honestly really inspires me and helps me come off cool is my friends. And my boyfriend actually shot all those videos.
So
like,
cool.
He was the director of photography for every single one, from My Love to Doing Now to Gimme Time. And I think working with people that you love and also love you, like, you know, loved ones, really leads to being able to make something unique but cohesive, but also so you. I think a lot of people were like, oh, that Gimme Time video was so beautiful. And that was the cheapest video that we shot of the three. But it's so beautiful because it feels intimate. And I wanted an intimate video for a song like Gimme Time, because I think there's a lot of intimacy on that song. And then Doing Now, the inspiration, I was just talking to my friends and they're like, girl, when was the last time you did a video where you did something about a hobby that you like? Because these are my friends and they're like, you should be able to showcase a bit of your personality and yourself in your work.
Yeah.
And so they're like, do a basketball video. Like, you literally, like, guys, I love LeBron. Like, he's one of my
favorites. I'm from Cleveland.
Stop. Stop. Just a kid from Akron, Ohio.
Just a kid from Akron, Ohio.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Shout out LeBron.
Literally shout out LeBron.
You're probably not listening, but we love you.
Exactly. Or the LeBron fans. I'll take it. But yeah, like, that was an example where when you're working with people that know you so well, they want to see your vision come to life, but they want to see you come to life. And they want other people to get to know that side of you. So that's where the inspiration for Doing Now came from. And then My Love, my roommate and best friend Annika directed it.
Such a good video, by the way.
That one is beautiful. It's super cool.
Let me tell listeners a little bit about what the video is. First of all, go watch it. After you go buy the album, go watch all of the videos. Yes. But My Love has this really cool, it almost looks like you're in like a postal office, like yes. shipping center, but it also kind of looks like an apartment.
Yes.
And so you're like sending your stuff out on this conveyor belt, but yeah. then your like physical body is also on the conveyor belt, like you're being
yes.
shipped off yes. to somewhere. How did this come to fruition?
I mean, that was kind of the point. Annika, I just tapped her and I said, hey, like, could you do a video for My Love? And she was like, well, just tell me about the song. And I was like, obviously, it's about yearning for someone. It's about distance. It's about craving intimacy. But it's also about surrendering yourself completely to someone. And she was like, well, I kind of love, you know, thinking about a postal office. Mm-hmm. And we tried to do it in a post office. But, you know, they were nice. But they were like, not gonna work out. So we were like, let's just make our own. But also, I think something that you pointed out was it kind of feels like you're in a home.
Yeah.
And I think we always try to do something that feels a little cozy because mm-hmm. I think that's kind of how I make my music a lot and how I listen to music. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of duality going on there, a little bit of juxtaposition between feeling close and feeling safe, but also feeling far away and trying to get there. So yeah, that was kind of the whole point. Like, you kind of said it. But yeah.
Yeah, I really love that one. I think there's something really cool about this kind of one word title theme that you have going on. So again, the debut album 2023 is called Aperture, which, you know, aperture has like a very specific definition. It's like an opening. Yes. Obviously, yes. anybody who loves photography or takes yeah. photos is familiar. Mm-hmm. And describe as well, obviously, is a word we're all familiar with yeah. wanting to describe something. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about your journey with this word. Why was it the right word for the yeah. title of this album?
Great question. I mean, honestly, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Describe was technically the first song that I fully wrote for the record, and it was called Describe. Like, that was already a thing, and I knew it was going to be called Describe. But I noticed, like, all throughout the record, on kind of the themes that I'm talking about and things that I'm saying, I'm like attempting to literally describe it or depict or envision what things could look like. And, you know, a lot of it, like we were talking about too, with, you know, I say a lot about calling. I say a lot about, you know, talking and telling somebody these things. So I just felt like it just kind of kept popping up. And when it was time to name the record, I was like, why don't I just name it Describe? Because that's literally what I'm doing. The whole album. I'm just so crazy talking to myself the whole time, but hoping anyone's listening. But yeah, no, that was kind of where it came from.
Yeah. Kind of a follow up to that, which this could be a hard question. So if you're like, nothing comes to mind, yeah. it is so okay.
Let's try it.
But I'm just curious, is there something that you wanted to describe on the album that you feel like a specific song captured really powerfully and well and kind of like to the T that you were trying to get at?
Yeah. Ooh, let me take a beat. Let mm-hmm. me see. Well, first off, I think My Love, which was the first single, it's just, you know, that's kind of me wanting, I set out trying to make a song that was full of gratitude and that was full of yearning and, you know, talking about the distance, but thinking about how excited I am for the distance to be over. You know, and how excited I am to be with somebody. And I think that one, I nailed it. I don't think there were any more words that I needed to say. And I think there's a lot of beauty in the simplicity. I'm yeah. very obsessed with keeping things simple. And so I know it sounds like a cliche answer, but I have to say My Love. I don't think there was anything else I could have said on that.
Yeah. No, and I get that from it. Like, when you listen to that song, you really feel tapped into that feeling.
Yeah.
I think we can all relate to that feeling of being apart from someone or something mm-hmm. that we love and just having gratitude for the fact that they're still in our lives,
yes.
even though the distance is there.
Yes.
I think that's really lovely that you went at it with this, like, heart full of gratitude.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you wanted to describe that you feel like you couldn't get at?
Oh my goodness, all the time. That's just so funny. I think about making an album is like there's so much you could say. I'm not sure if there's a specific example, but I definitely feel that feeling where I'm like, it's time to make another one, you know? Like yeah. there's still more to say. I think trying to put it all in 12 tracks, you know, like you don't always get to say it. But I think, I don't know, I might pop out some more gratitude songs. Like, those are kind of my jam right now. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, we can't wait to hear them. We're going to hear one more live song, and it's going to be My Love, which we were just talking about. So that's a good natural segue. I read something that I thought was really lovely that you had said. Somebody asked you, or maybe I actually was watching it in a YouTube video. Somebody asked you when your earliest memory of music was, and you mentioned that you had a memory of your mom, of like waking up in the morning and hearing your mom listening to music and cleaning the house.
Yes.
And I always love to know people's early inspirations of music. Who inspired you musically from a young age? Was it things your parents were listening to? I know you did the choir with your sister.
Yes.
What was like Hannah's hook into music?
Oh my goodness. Well, when my mom was cleaning the house, it was definitely a lot of hip hop and R&B. Okay, people are going to laugh at me for this, but my mom was playing Drake before he was Drake.
like Degrassi, like Drake.
Fresh off Degrassi, fresh off the plane at LAX. And like doing mixtapes. My mom was playing Drake right before he was about to go on tour with Kendrick.
And she's now not a regular beef. Mom. She's a cool mom.
No, she's epic. Now they have beef. But before they have beef, and when Kendrick, you know, was going to open for Drake, mind you, Drake was headlining. That's when my mom was playing him. I think he was doing a college tour. And I remember she was cleaning the house and she was dancing. And she goes, "Do you know who this is?" And I was like, "Lil Wayne." Mind you, I'm six. I don't know. I'm like, "Lil Wayne?" She's like, "No, it's Drake." But other artists that I was super inspired by, when it was my ninth birthday, I asked, either ninth or 10th, I asked for the Black Eyed Peas The End CD. That was the first CD I ever had. And that album still has a hold on me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love just the way that they do the synths and
all
that.
Well, I was going to say, they do a lot. They pull a lot of musical tricks out of their bag, you also like to do.
Yes, I love the use of the vocoder. I love the use of the synths, you know, the layering and kind of like a hook, a good hook. I love. So Black Eyed Peas is definitely one. But as I grew into like teenage years, you know, I started, and going to college, I was listening to Imogen Heap, Claro. When I was making this record, I was playing Rosalia, FKA Twigs. So yeah, there's definitely been a progression. But I think what all those artists have in common is that it just seems effortless. What they do feels effortless, and I'm always striving for that. I don't think I've quite gotten there yet, but that's something that I love about those artists. And they try things, and they take risks, whether people like it or not, you know? So that's what I like about all those artists.
Yeah, kind of effortless simplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And a good hook.
And a good
hook. They all know how to do a great hook.
They sure do, and so do you. And we're about to hear another great hook in this last live song. I do wish I could talk to you forever. This has been
so fun.
So lovely. Thank you so much for coming to WFUV.
This is a great interview.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. And it was an amazing session. And make sure if you're out there listening that you go to the YouTube as well and watch the videos. And make sure that you go and buy Hannah's new album, Describe. Get your hands on this right away. It will be on repeat, I promise you. Let's get into this last live song, live from Studio A. It's Hannah Jadagu with My Love. Sent me, now I think. That was Hannah Jadagu performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Hannah and her band for joining us in our studio and to Sub Pop Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Nadia Garriga. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Gwen Taylor. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host and the executive producer of FUV Live Sessions, Megan Zuma.